Did you know that the pet care industry is a billion-dollar industry and it is continuously growing? But are the people who care for your pets growing as well? I'm Dara Forleo, and on The Business of Pet Care, we are going to talk about what really goes on behind the scenes of those grooming tables, those daycare walls, and those social media filters. Welcome. Most brands, if you don't know already and you're watching, are heavily investing in paid traffic and social media traffic, ads and all kinds of stuff. But one of the most profitable channels that most aren't really using or are really underusing or not using at all, especially I find this in a lot of small businesses, but that is email. And email done right is not just promotions and newsletters. They become a system that builds trust with pet parents, delivers the right message at the right moment, and really can turn a list of emails into some predictable revenue. Today, we are going to get into what most pet brands misunderstand about emails, the operational systems behind those high-performing campaigns, and some hard truths about building trust before asking for the sale. Welcome to The Business of Pet Care, where we are examining systems, strategy, and decisions shaping modern pet businesses. I am your host, Dara Forleo, and today I am thrilled to introduce you to Avin Tedros, founder of Magtania. Did I say that right, Avin?
Yes, you did, Dara. Good job.
Perfect. Avin is an email marketing specialist and strategist, and he focuses specifically on the pet industry. Avin has started helping brands really get established with turning their email lists into that reliable revenue. Don't we all want that, right? Segmentations, life cycles, marketing, and just to get that trust-driven communication going. So let's get started. I want to know. First off, I want to know how you got into this.
100%. That's a great question, Dara. And the truth is, me growing up with a big family, right? Being the second oldest of four sons, we all like pets, right? We had parakeets, we had dogs, we had cats. And while we had a lot of pets, there was a lot of responsibility that we had to build on top of that, just in terms of care, just in terms of what actually goes through the mind of a pet parent, you know, when they have to go to school, work, et cetera. And just being able to solve a problem, in this case, email for businesses, seeing that I could make those two things intertwine, just a skill that I have, and then an industry that I love and I've grown up in, and I'm just really familiar in, is just a deal that sounded too good to pass up on. So that's how I got up in the industry.
Did you do, just real quick, then we'll get into it, but did you do a career change into this?
Not particularly. So
no, okay.
I began my agency in October of 2023. But before then, when it came to freelancing, I was strictly a copywriter and I was specializing in different industries. So like construction, et cetera, but the pet industry, just with the familiarity, just with how it resonated with me, it just being a part of me and my family's life for a while, definitely played a role to going into that full time. And then knowing the avatar, of course.
Yeah, that's really neat. So that works well in with when somebody comes to you and says, our email isn't doing what it's supposed to be doing. First off, I'd say, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do to fix it?
Right.
Where did we begin?
Right. I mean, on that note, there are a lot of basic boxes that most brands need to check when it comes to first figuring out why their email may not be performing the way it needs to, and then uncovering those, right, with audits. And it comes down to really just the basic boxes of automation, segmentation, maybe testing, right, things that some pet brands aren't doing. Because from what we see with a lot of pet businesses in this industry, a lot of people may be a bit heavily promotional, or some people may be underutilizing their sending volume. So there are a lot of different popular reasons as to why email may not be performing as well as it could be for some brands, but just knowing how emotional pet parents are, just how quick we can be attached to things we like, right? Like the reason why a lot of pet parents don't switch veterinarians and they keep them for at least 20 years plus, a similar thing just with, you know, attachment, emotional resonance that pet brands could do a better job on, just being able to take advantage of that just by looking to the nitty gritty of things.
It's not easy to do that, especially, I mean, I don't know what size companies you really do have. Is there a size range of a company that you really work well with? You know, I know a lot of small businesses, and I go small because that's what I do. We don't have a big email list, you know, it's not real elaborate. So when we're trying to compete against, I don't, maybe not compete is the word, but when we're trying to, when we're working against other larger companies who have unlimited access to emails or are getting emails daily, what size companies do you really like working with? What's that size look like?
So small businesses have been in our wheelhouse as of late. It's been medium to larger size businesses, just businesses with around at least 10 people on staff, right? Average annual revenue being between the 250K to 2 million plus kind of range.
Yeah.
And Of course, just with them having specific number of people on their email list, right? Them running paid traffic, just being able to make email do more heavy lifting, as I believe that paid traffic and email could go hand in hand just with that gap that pet brands may be looking to close just in terms of email not doing the lifting they wanted to do.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, okay. So that really puts it into perspective. So when these businesses are thinking about this email marketing and just sending promotions, like what's the strategic difference really between a basic, hey, how's it going kind of a thing to a real lifestyle or a life cycle marketing campaign?
Yeah, that's a great question, Dara. Just in regards to that, them understanding why those pet parents are on their list in the first place, and then understanding what the business's USPs are, just in terms of their leverage points, their unique sales points, what kind of made them stand out to that customer in the first place? Because there are a lot of different strengths that a brand could lean on that they didn't realize that they had, whether it comes to their story, whether it comes to maybe specific products or ingredients in food, right? Depending on the business, there are a lot of untapped reasons pet brands usually don't tap into as much as they could. And they go the promotional route because it feels safe. It's what they're used to maybe when they sign up to maybe a competitor's email list, or if that's what they've received from other email accounts. So they do what's familiar. And just in regards to that, switching that up and understanding, hey, I have XYZ strengths, let me go use them because that's why this customer is here, can break the ice easier with their customers.
I'm going to ask you a question because I don't know what this means, but you said USPs?
USPs, unique sales points.
Unique sales points. Okay, thank you. For anybody out there, I'm sure I'm not the only one who's going to be going, what is that? So yeah, okay, it's interesting to see, you know, because we send out marketing emails, but we also send out more transactional emails for our student body, but you know, honestly, we're not just, it just seems like it's hard to write them, it's hard to get that content, it's hard to figure out, even when you think you know your ideal customer persona there, what to write and what to give them. Is there a trick to that?
There is. I have a trick to it that I keep in my agency, but you just want to make sure you have a healthy mix of different campaign styles and flow styles, just in terms of educational content, which should be 70 to 80% of all emails that you do send if we're speaking in regards of a B2C audience. B2B, you have to be a bit more relevant, value-packed, and shorter, as you're targeting different, more sophisticated personas with specific job titles. So the structure is a bit different, but just in regards to B2C, understanding the healthy content mix of educational being the bulk of what you put out, which can be so broad in of itself. I mean,
yeah,
you have so much free range just in terms of what a customer could learn about your business and what makes your business awesome and unique from competitors or just what else is out in the market. Having a healthy mix of storytelling as well, which is something that can't be faked, something that can't be automated, right? Just in terms of what's built the business, what kind of made you you, putting you into the pets, putting you into the pet space, and really relating with your customer to get the wall down. And then also, once you've, as we've mentioned, and you've made a great point on this, building the trust before asking for the sale, then that opens the floodgates for promotional content when the time is ready. And at that point, it's solving a problem that they've already had. So it doesn't feel promotional. It feels more like a helping hand from a friend.
Okay. So that really makes sense. We got to take a break right now, but we're going to come back and look more into all of this and look at the bigger picture of the industry where pet brands, a lot of what we already talked about, we're just going to go more in depth with it, I think. Where the biggest opportunities still exist that we can really wrap ourselves around too as a small business to put ourselves out there. So give us a few minutes and we will be right back. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. Want more of what you are watching? Stay connected to this show, The Business of Pet Care, and every Now Media TV favorite, live or on demand. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or ISO for bilingual programming in English and Spanish. You can also catch the podcast at nowmedia.tv. Now Media TV is streaming around the clock, ready whenever you are. And we are back talking about emails that have been around for decades. And still, I think probably one of the number one forms of communication still used today. Correct me if I am wrong with that, Evan. I'm sorry, Evan. because that's the best way to get in touch with people, right? I mean, emails are really... I don't think they're ever going to go away.
No. I mean, with the statistics on how many people open their email every day and even how many people open their email every hour, right? Just ranging from different generations like mine with Gen Z, then Gen X, millennials, boomers. It's something that's been a part of our society for decades and just something that will continue to be leveraged as time goes on.
Yeah. And it's so easy not only to just get it on your computer, but to pull it up. I mean, I know I look at my phone when I go to my emails before I do anything else. It's like so easy to do that. And then I can go, ooh, do I want to respond to that one or not?
Right. But, we've all been there.
Yes. So getting back to what you do, pet brands. All right. What patterns show up again and again in underperforming emails that you work with these companies to help mitigate?
Great question, Dara. What I see consistently come up is salesy and spammy language in bulk campaigns and pet businesses sending a lot of their campaigns to their all segment, which can not, of course, only of course, destroy deliverability, but lack any sort of personalization, as well as the over segmenting of emails and email profiles, I should say, as well, just in terms of having the basics down, as we already mentioned, like 30-day engaged, 60-day, 90-day, right? But then there are people who can just really go wild with it, just in terms of maybe like treats that a customer may have bought 5 years ago. There are a lot of crazy things that you'll see, but just in terms of what we see commonly, those are some big things.
Knowing that you were coming on, I've been kind of watching a lot of my emails that I get in the promotional side of things, and I don't ever open them anymore. Even if it's a company that I have purchased from in the past, they're sending out so many on a daily basis that it's like, I don't even
Overwhelming.
want to see them anymore. I mean,
It's crazy. I mean, it's overwhelming. You have to think about it from the customer side on that kind of regard. Like, people don't unsubscribe purely because of the volume. It's the high volume of low quality content that would make a pet parent unsubscribe. And when you lack that personalization, when you lack value, when you lack giving the pet parent reason to stay on your email list or really tie anything relevant to their problem, why wouldn't they leave? Especially when you have a history of over-engaging or just not really massaging the right pain points, but having that high volume regardless. So it's definitely confusing, but it's something we see commonly.
it's difficult to keep. And again, I go back to small business a lot here because that's what I do.
Right.
And that's who I work with a lot. And, you know, as a small business, a lot of us and a lot of that don't have the additional resources to be able to know all this information, to get all this information. And one thing I see a lot of that I've noticed for again, I'm going down to a small business perspective, is not sending the email properly. And this might not fit in this, but when I say properly, I'm like adding a whole bunch of emails to one, using just a regular Gmail or regular account, not a business account. That's something that I know has changed recently. Maybe not recently, but it's changed in the past, that it's kind of frowned upon, especially if you're not using a marketing site, email site.
Yeah, this is definitely taboo to do in 2026 now. We've seen brands do it, and it does leave a lot of meat on the bone, as I like to say, just in regards of that trust factor, just in terms of being that authority figure who can still give value, but being able to make it personal is their goal. That's why some brands I've spoken to may use that different email compared to something more official or something that may be more business savvy and relevant to their company. It's something that definitely needs to be improved upon, be fixed. But the tweaks are really simple when you're able to build trust with your sender email and your sender name. For example, it could be even for small businesses, right? Something that I see with the small businesses that I have worked with and still work with to this day is leaning on the fact that you are a small business, you are independent, you have been maybe woman-owned, right? Or something along those lines when you're able to lean into that with authenticity. Just not only from the storytelling, but even from the very beginning of what a customer may see when they open your emails, just in terms of a sender name, right? Like, for example, X name at X small business or Y small business company, just to give a more relatable feel, a more human feel. And then the sender email address could still be that email, just in terms of something that's more business savvy and technical, but now the ice is broken a bit and you stand out from maybe like a Chewy or like an Antelope or, you know, another big box brand that kind of has a set way of doing things as most big box brands do.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I'm going to is that smaller boutique-y style that's asking for emails, trying to collect emails, but still kind of, I don't really know what to do with my emails now. I got them, but I don't know what to do with them. What am I sending to them? What am I giving back to them? And that seems to be a big I don't even know. It seems like it's a big there's a big gap in that education to business owners in this. And I think and trying to hire somebody to do it for you. Again, I know I'm just thinking out loud in right. everything that I've gone through as a business owner, trying to think about how it could help somebody out there listening. Because I've not had a successful email marketing campaign go down. And it's frustrating when you have an email list and you send it out and you think it's amazing and you get nothing back. And you get nothing back.
So deflating.
Oh, it's been more than deflating. I mean, we want to sometimes run our heads through the walls. It's like, what are we doing wrong? Why can't we just get a guys? Stop. Just respond.
Right. Just thinking you have every box checked and then, you know, you have everything planted right and then boom, you know, something doesn't go your way. I mean, for our case, right, when we have the boxes that we need checked and we see something may have not performed to the standards that we hold for ourselves and for the business, it's always fundamental to go back and assess everything just in terms of getting to the weeds of things. It even means deliverability. It even means the content, right? It even means the timing, the day. I mean, we get so into this, right? Like even like Monday and Tuesday, right? Best for B2B and B2C, specifically like 10 a.m. to 12 and then 1 to 3. Like getting into the nitty-gritty of what specifically, why somebody may have not responded, converted.
Oh my God. I didn't even think about the timing of it. I mean, right. You talk about time with posting your social medias, but I didn't even think about the time of it hitting into the inbox.
I mean, yeah, most people think just, oh, the 9 to 5 business range is probably the best. But I mean, there are just so many specifics with it. I mean, at like 12 p.m. when you're scrolling, you're eating lunch, you know, you're on your work break or whatever, your mind is turned off of work for those 30 minutes. So, I mean, like just getting to the science of it like that, understanding when is the most relevant time, but also what kind of content you're sending that wouldn't even intrigue someone in the first place. It just requires a lot of self-reflecting and just internal looking as to why something may have performed and you can celebrate, or why something didn't perform and you have to go back and test.
I'm taking notes because I'm going back to that time. Like, time. Never even thought about it. That really comes back to you having a very, very solid understanding of your customer and knowing exactly where they are at what stage of the process that they're in and sending that out and getting that to them in that time to make them go, ooh, now's the time.
Exactly. In that front, I mean, that's just what we want to focus on when it comes to the specifics and just getting to the weeds of things. I mean, timing is a big one, but also, you know, content, what segment we're sending it to, right? The number of people on our list. I mean, there's just so many things we could ramble on, but when it comes to what could really make a brand successful, just make sure you have the basic boxes checked and you have the fundamentals taken care of just in terms of deliverability and automation, right? And then from mm-hmm. there, you're able to grow and test as to what works and what doesn't and really get a firm grip and a handle on, okay, X kind of content engages my customers a bit more than Y. What kind of variations can I make of X so I'm not repeating myself, right? Just small things like that, and just building upon your knowledge.
Yeah. I do want to come back to that because, I think understanding that terminology that you just used also, I am learning it just because we work in HubSpot, but if you don't work in a company or if you don't work on that back end and you're just doing it like so many do, that terminology's gotta, I think we're gonna have to come back and talk about that after the break, because I do want to get that out there because this is the information that I think I know a lot of the listeners need to know, because they're smaller, they're not these big companies that are doing this. So if you're okay with putting that and coming back to that, remind me, because I will forget between now and we're done with this, right?
100%.
But yeah, so coming up next, that is what we're going to start with, figuring out and getting this terminology so that you guys understand that terminology and how to use it and where to use it and get more into that breakdown. So we will be right back. Welcome back to the business of pet care. All right, we have been all over the board, but that's okay because, you know, email marketing, it sounds like it should be really simple, right? On the surface, it's send out an email and let's see what happens. But done poorly, it is going to be very damaging for customer relationships and that brand trust. And that comes back to, let's talk about it. We're going to go, oh my goodness. What do some of those terms we were just talking about mean? I'm going to let you take it. What were we just talking about?
We were just talking about timing. We were talking about deliverability, automation, right? Happy to explain those. Deliverability is just how often and how, you know, frequently your emails rely and actually get into the primary inbox. So when it comes to deliverability, them landing not just into the customer's folder, right, and then going to spam, but high deliverability, always being in the primary inbox, always being top of mind for your customers, just improving that as much as we can, just in terms of the language, right, being extremely authentic, extremely fun. You know, different brands have different brand voices and tonalities, as we see. And it's just really, really different depending on the kind of business model. But we see, you know, authenticity work really well, which is a non-negotiable. Seeing that fun kindergarten style kind of voice work well for, you know, like cat brands. It's a mix, right?
Just, I know. You know. I can't go that route. I delete when I see that stuff. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, there's something for everybody, right?
I delete. Nope. That's,
yeah, I mean,
yeah. And colors.
True.
Colors do a big, if there's too many bubblegum colors. I don't like those bubblegum colors. I will delete those. I won't even touch them. But also seeing what they're saying. I don't like emojis. I stay away from, if I'm seeing emojis come in that front subject line, forget it. Gone. I'm out. I already check out.
It already sounds like just, yeah, you kind of get it from that front. And you test what really works because you stay true to the brand and what they've built. It has to be really, really resonant to not only the founders, but just in terms of what's already worked and what is engaging well with, of course, the pet parents, right? So then you see like more, you mentioned that kindergarten style isn't exactly like what can make you convert, but more of that slick, savvy, right, kind of professional language that you see in business also converts really well. I mean, when it comes to some of these brand voice, their writing style, their tonality, making sure that you have that box checked is, you know, going through a series of testing, right, with the copy, just even going back to their social medias, going back to, you know, what else they, whatever kind of marketing content they may have, and just adapting to that, because at the end of the day, you don't want to do a complete 180 from what's already worked for them. You just want to enhance what's not working and enhance a little bit of what's already working as well on top of that.
Yeah. What do you think is the biggest mistake that is made?
The biggest mistake pet brands make?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a great one.
Well, I'm sure I make it every day, so... But I want to know what it is because I don't know if I'm doing it or not.
100%. The single biggest mistake you could make is sending emails to your all segment. That's what's going to destroy.
You said that earlier. And that all segment, that is just putting everybody on one giant honking list and blasting it out.
Exactly. Just people who aren't interested, people who haven't engaged in over a year plus, just have their email. If you're a small business, maybe from like a market or like a trade show or something, and then just blasting them out, hey, we're here, that could very easily ruffle someone's feathers. So just being so mindful of, you know, the segmentation, but the timing, so big.
The timing, but can we go back to that, being mindful of that? Because again, I go back. If you have an email list and you're just sending out just to send out and haven't gotten or don't have an unsubscribe anywhere in that email, that's going to hurt your reputation as well.
1,000,000%.
All right. Just one. I'm checking. I that meant to be a question.
Oh, you know,
what's a great way to ask a question, but
I mean, that's a non-negotiable box. Like, that is one of the first things you see, because people always need that opt-out section, right? It's not even something to think about. It's just an autopilot feature. But yeah, I mean, imagine how annoying it would be just getting emails from somebody you don't like and then just not having the option to unsubscribe. So
can I ask, and this is going to go to scheduling software for a service-based industry, that I come from a service-based industry. And if I'm sending out emails through my my scheduling software, and I'm just blasting out emails to everyone, and I've never done that with my email list or my clientele. So do those automatically have that put on there? Do you know that?
No, it's not automatic.
It's like, not automatic.
Yeah, for certain CRMs, HubSpot, you know, being the one you use, they all have different features and savviness that could, you know, be beneficial just in terms of, you know, Klaviyo, OmniSend, what some of the, you know, moderate-sized businesses work with in that front. There's a lot of flexibility, similar with HubSpot, just in terms of having that control to where that doesn't have to happen in your case, Dara.
Right. Yeah. No, with HubSpot, we learned that lesson quickly. But I'm thinking like people who use MailChimp or some of the other, I don't know, is that a third party? Because they really don't have a CRM. And that's, I know coming in my industry, that's not common language that's being spoken in such a, in our service realm. In the service realm, these are terms that aren't really talked about. So I think that's why I pull and gravitate towards it, to educate those people, because they're the ones who need it the most. Who don't understand what they're doing or what they could be doing or what they shouldn't be doing. But we don't have that third party. We can purchase it in our website, who's hosting our website. So again, that's something. And I do see that there is unsubscribe on that part, but segmenting all those lists, getting that all put together, is, it takes time and monitoring.
It takes so much out of just one person, right? Or even multiple people, just in terms of constantly having to optimize, you know, testing, right? I mean, going back to even the call to action, right? Like, you know, having, testing different call to actions, right? Subject lines, the ones that work best on that front. You have to evoke a bit of intrigue, a bit of interest, of course, but even sometimes, depending if it's promotional, just a bit of mystery as well, just so that when you reveal too much in
your sub- that mystery part of it as well. I like that.
It's mandatory, right? Just depending on the kind of email you're sending out, because, you know, people like to focus on, you know, metrics like opens, clicks, conversions, right? You know, dollar per email, and just optimizing and testing the CTAs, the subject lines with those emotions. Because that's, at the end of the day, that's all you're doing, just evoking specific emotions to solve problems for pet parents.
Yeah, that's so true. Okay, we have one more break we gotta take, but real quick, I am going to ask, because we have not done this and I'm really bad at doing this, where can we find you? Where can anybody find you if they need your services?
100%. So currently my website is under construction. It's coming back in 2 to 3 weeks, but I do have a LinkedIn page. It's just my name, Avan Tedros, company name at the top right almost, Mactania. You're able to message me on there. I post weekly just in terms of pet industry insights, email marketing insights, things that'd be helpful for businesses in that realm. Very active on there. Feel free to
You are
connect.
very active on there. I follow you.
100%. I appreciate that, Derek.
Yes, and we'll get that information out, but we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back after this message. Welcome back to the Business of Pet Care. Don't miss a second of this show or any of our other Now Media TV favorites, streaming live and on demand anytime. Grab the free Now Media TV app on Roku or ISO, or you can listen to the podcast at nowmedia.tv. Now Media TV is available 24/7, so the stories you care about are always within reach. And we are back on the Business of Pet Care. I'm Dara Forleo, and I am here with
Avon Tedros.
Thank you. Welcome back. And tell us your business name, because I know I'm going to butcher it.
No worries. My business name is Magtania, and we are a retention and lifecycle mobile marketing agency for businesses in the pet industry, specifically the pet care niche. So think pet food, pet supplements, pet treats, service businesses. That's our bread and butter. And as you can see, our LinkedIn is right there. That's a way to connect with us.
I love it. And I love that you said service-based industries also, because that is a huge, huge side that kind of gets really missed. So where do we want to pick up? I'm going to let you take the lead on this last segment. What is it? We've talked all over. But what is something that we haven't covered that you're like, oh, Derek, we got to talk about this, and this is what I think it needs to be?
We definitely have to cover the basics that a business could do right away to clean up their own email marketing, give that value back, and just make it as tangible, as least overwhelming as possible for a business to climb back up on. So we'd love to dive deeper into that.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Where are we starting?
100%. Well, you mentioned people having different platforms, right? You mentioned they're very popular ones, MailChimp, Klaviyo, HubSpot, right? Above all else, if somebody's starting from ground zero, we want to be able to build that email list with a CRM in that note. And if you're, and for people who may not be familiar, a CRM is simply a email sending platform that we can use in this context, right? And for that in regard, we want to ensure that we have a few basic boxes checked. We want to make it extremely simple. We have an email list, right? Whether it's collected from markets, it's connected from shows, or even if you've been running paid ads, right, to get people onto, your opt-in form on your website, getting people to subscribe and just make that customer journey as seamless as possible. We have welcome emails, right? And those are super, super simple just in terms of talking about and giving them the incentive that they may have signed up for, whether it's like 10% off hypothetically, and just creating that flow that's meant to really break the ice and build trust with a customer who doesn't know you. If it's one thing about this industry, right? People buy from people that they know, like, and trust, especially pet parents. We're more emotional, we're more easier to be attached to things and people that we like. And we don't buy from brands, we buy from other people. So within that flow itself, you're just building the story up, you're, giving opportunities to make it as least overwhelming as possible to, make someone purchase, but also show them the uniqueness. Remember that term we spoke about? USPs, unique sales points, just diving deeper into that for your brand and ensuring that a journey is built first before you could build and stack up on other things.
And go back just a few when we were talking about a CRM. I think a lot of people get confused about the differences of a CRM versus a POS system and thinking they're one and the same. And I think that's a difference we might want to clear up.
100%. Those, yeah. So POS systems, CRMs, definitely not the same thing, right? In the context of picking a CRM, right? There are different pros and cons you need to weigh that you may not get with a POS system in that kind of regard. So just being very intentional with, you know, the differences of those, understanding what may be relevant to your business and what may not be, is just super, super important before you commit to a platform on that part, Dara.
Oh, I know. And I think what happens is, again, we come back to those scheduling softwares, which people are like, oh, this is, I'm taking money here. I'm doing everything here. Is this enough to cover everything that I'm doing, or do I need something else? And I think what I'm hearing is that there needs to be another piece of the pie to integrate with those other two systems that they're using.
Yeah,
Because
there
the
definitely is.
scheduling software is typically it's not going to be sending out marketing campaigns to people that are not already in the system. So you're housing other people in a different system.
Exactly. That's why they need to be separate, but also be integrated when needed to,
When
right?
needed.
Just to be
It's very
seamlessness.
confusing.
Oh, yeah, it can
I mean,
be.
you can see how people get in trouble with doing this or not doing it because of how complex it's become. And I learned, I want to say back in December, that like even having a CRM, it doesn't mean you're doing things by the books because they change the rules so
Oh my goodness.
much.
So
And it's like,
compliance.
wait, what? How did I miss this? And you get it like 2 weeks later, and it's like, oh my God. Now we got to change everything again because they're saying you got to move it again, which is why it's really nice to have somebody who's up and on all these. How do you keep up with all the changes?
Definitely having a few different resources, right? Just being on top of, you know, industry, seeing what works in the industry, of course, being able to test, right? Network is also extremely big for things that come early, things that you're aware of, right? As we're always keen, of course, on learning, but then also just keeping up with the industry, seeing what kind of, well, what kind of dies out and also what kind of works in that kind of regard. And then for email compliance, oh my gosh, that's such a big one, just in terms of the rules, just in terms of things you get hit with that you didn't expect, right? I mean, a lot of the technical savvy things. So keeping yourself in that space exposes you to that new information that can allow you to take action for another business, just in terms of updates that may need to be taken care of.
Wow. It is very complex. So we need to keep this conversation going. But we have a few more minutes left, and I want to know what is something that a small business can simple just some simple steps that they can use to get going today to implement into their business if they've never done anything? Or would you say, hey, contact us and let's talk. Let's get you set up properly.
We definitely lean on number two, of course, but giving
I know.
giving a bit of value there. Clean up your email list if you're a small business owner. There could be so many customers or, you know, prospects from there that you haven't had a touch point with in a while that can bring down your deliverability, even if you may have had positive conversations a long time ago. Number one off the bat. Number two, taking care of compliance rules and having unsubscribe footers, right? And number three, just being able to create the most simple segments with your platforms, like people who have engaged so simply within the last 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, and just being able to understand who may be engaged, who actually cares about our brand, and just being able to zoom out and have a clear picture on, you know, who our avatar is engaging with and just continue to go forward there.
It's, I mean, I'm already confused. I'm still confused about the whole thing. I don't know how anybody can keep their head straight with it all, with trying to do that and do this and send emails to the right people. It is crazy. Thank you
always
for
learning her
bit of tidbits like that. But I got more. I have more in store for you. So I think you're gonna connect here. But thank you so much for coming on and, you know, helping and talking about this email marketing and getting this a little more clearer for us. It really is important, and it's important that businesses are doing it properly and not compromising yourself before you're even getting started. So, you know what? I'm going to just say it, guys. Talk to Avon. There's no way it sounds like a much better situation than trying to do it for yourselves. We know, ask Jennifer and I, it is something we do all the time. Tell us again, one more time, where can we find you? What can we do?
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's just my name, Avon Tedros. Feel free to shoot me a message or connect. Happy to connect back, chat a bit about email strategy. And honestly, Dara, the pleasure is mine. I appreciate you having me on, and I just feel good being able to help small business owners, help medium, bigger size business owners as well, just with email tips, strategies, because the whole thing can be just so complex when you have so many other things on your plate as a founder or a C-suite exec, and it's just so overwhelming to get that all rolling the way it needs to. So we're going to be able to ease that process a bit, but thank you, Dara.
It is. Thank you so much for being on. Hey, thanks guys, everyone, for listening today. And as you know, this has been The Business of Pet Care, and I will look forward to seeing you next week.